So good to be in his house tonight. Just some food for thought. A.W. Tozier said, "The spirit-filled life is not a special deluxe edition of Christianity. It is part and parcel of the total plan of God for his people." And I want you to hear this. I liked what Gary Keelan said. And hear what I'm going to say, because this is powerful. It's life-changing. When we receive the free gift of salvation, we get the Holy Spirit as our helper to dwell in us. When we receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit gets us. Last week, we looked at the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In Luke 24 and Acts 1, Jesus had told them, his followers, we're going to recap just for a couple of minutes, to go and tarry in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father, the power from on high. He said, "You're going to be endued with power to be witnesses of me at home and abroad." Before his crucifixion and after his resurrection, he taught them the things of the kingdom, and he prepared them that he was not going to go away and leave them without a helper. When you look over in John 15, 26, Jesus told him, he said, "When the advocate or the paraclete comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf or bear witness of me." So he was saying to them, I'm not going to leave you without a helper. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's not only going to be with you, but he's going to be in you. He's going to be your paraclete. He's going to be your helper. He's going to be your teacher, your counselor, your convictor, your convincer, your guide. He's going to go with you and teach you about me. That same promise that he gave to his disciples is for us today. That same power. Jesus's followers were ordinary men. We talked about this last week. They were ordinary men and women like we are. They dealt with the flesh. They dealt with their emotions. They dealt with their faith walk. They doubted at times. They struggled at times. And yet, Jesus saw them and knew that they would be the very ones that would evangelize and become the New Testament church. He saw something in them. He said, "I want you to go and tarry." So when they watched him descend up into, ascend up into heaven off of the Mount of Olives in Acts 2, they watched that. And after that, they went and gathered in Jerusalem for some 10 days, and they devoted themselves to prayer. They prayed in faith. They prayed in agreement. They prayed in expectancy. And they humbled themselves in repentance that brought a spirit of unity among them and prepared them for the promise of the Father. I want to read Acts 2, 1 through 4 again tonight. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. It was a supernatural sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Everyone in the room, bar none, was impacted by the wind. Then there appeared to them cloven tongues as of fire and set upon each of them. We talked last week that fire symbolizes the visible, purifying presence of God. Hebrews tells us that our God is a consuming fire. In verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Tongues symbolize speech and the communication of the gospel. They were all filled. Speaking in tongues is the birthright of every believer and is available to all who receive the free gift of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Why tongues? When you look in Proverbs, life and death is in the power of the tongue. My Full Life Bible comments that perhaps it is because the tongue is the most unruly part of the body. extremely difficult for most people to control. Do you ever have trouble controlling the tongue? I've read this saying one time, hush until you heal. And Sister Hall had written in her Bible, if you feel like you need to say something and probably shouldn't, then don't. It's like the rudder of a large ship. The tongue can set the direction for our entire character and behavior. So maybe that's why. When you look at James 3, it says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it's set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude or in the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Could it be that when we yield our lives to the Holy Spirit, especially our tongues and our speech, it brings our whole life into alignment with the Word of God? Reverend Willie Wilson gave some truths to ponder about the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, and I want to share some of those tonight because I believe they're powerful. James 3 and 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Yielding your tongue to the Holy Spirit to speak with other tongues is a big step toward being able to fully yield all your members to God. I want you to ponder that and think about that. He went on to say, speaking in tongues is the initial evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. God has given us this wonderful spiritual gift to bless us, edify us, and refresh us through our lives on earth. When we speak in tongues, we glorify God and we edify our own life. When we speak in with the gifts of tongues in a body and it's interpreted, then we edify the body of Christ. When Paul encouraged the Corinthian Christians to continue the practice of speaking in tongues, and I want you to hang with me, because so many people in the church, the Holy Spirit dwells in you as a believer. But it's difficult at times for us to yield to the Holy Spirit. But I love what Pastor Gary Kenyon said when he said that when we get saved, we have the Holy Spirit. When we get filled with the baptism, the Holy Spirit has us. We learn to yield in every area of our life. So when Paul was encouraging them to speak in tongues in their worship to God, he encouraged them to speak in tongues in their individual prayer life as a means of spiritual edification or building up your faith. In 1 Corinthians 14 and 14, it says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. He continues and says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. The Amplified Bible teaches, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays, because God is spirit. Now listen to this. When you pray in tongues, your spirit is in direct contact with God, who is spirit. When you speak in tongues, you are talking to him by divine, supernatural means. When we speak in other tongues, it keeps us continually aware of God's power and his indwelling presence. It's bound to affect the way that we think, the way that we live, the way that we act, if we become more aware of Holy Spirit dwelling in us, that we literally are the temples of the Most High God. that his presence in us, the more we become aware, makes us more in tune to maybe not speak everything that we think or act any way that we want to act if it doesn't line up with the Word of God. So the more that we're aware of his presence in us, we're speaking in tongues, we're building our most holy faith, we become more aware of his presence and who we are in him, that we literally are the gateway for the glory of God. We're not just people inhabiting a place on the earth. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. And we're passing through this life created by God, his breath in our lungs, to be a physical representation of him in the earth. So when we become more aware of God's power in us, we think different. We live different. We act different. We expect different. We worship different. Everything changes the more aware we are of his presence in us. Speaking in tongues helps us learn to trust God. The Bible says in Jude 20 to build our most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. There are things that come at us every single day, all day long. Carnal things, worldly things, vain philosophies, deceit, all kinds of things that we're inundated with, and we need to build ourselves up by praying in the Holy Ghost. It stimulates faith and it helps us to learn to trust God more fully. Faith must be exercised to speak in tongues. You and I was saved by faith. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. We're filled with the free gift of the baptism by faith. It takes faith. It takes faith that when we hear those syllables, we hear them in our spirit, we hear them in our mind. It takes faith to speak them. He gives us the unction. We obey by speaking with our own mouth. So we learn to trust God because we're speaking in tongues and we know this syllable, but we're not sure about the next one, but the Holy Spirit is putting it in us. And so by faith, we speak what we hear. No one can teach you or should how to speak in tongues. They're different languages for different times. You usually get a prayer language, but there's diverse tongues as well. And the more you grow and trust God, there's going to be times of intercession. There's going to be times of groaning. There's going to be times of jubilant praise. That tongues may sound different, and it's going to be by faith that you speak it out of your mouth. He will not make you. He will not force you. And bar none, the enemy will always tell you that's you. You're not even spiritual. You said a curse word this week. You got mad. You made a mistake. You can't pray in tongues. Do you know why he gave us the Holy Spirit? To help us with our weaknesses. If we could do it all ourselves, we would not need him. He is called the Paraclete, the Counselor, the Helper. And he came to endue us with power. So we build our most holy faith, and it takes trust by praying in the Holy Spirit. When you look in Romans 8, 27, 28, it teaches us that when we don't know how to pray, Are you ever there? All of us are. Probably more frequently now than ever because of the day we're living in. When you don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit who lives in you, he doesn't visit, he doesn't come and go on Sundays and Wednesdays and through the week. He dwells in you. You are his temple. You are God's address. 24/7, he's given life to your mortal body. And when you don't know how to pray, when it doesn't make sense to you, when you are at your lowest, when things seem totally out of control, and you lean into Holy Spirit, and you open your mouth and allow him to pray through you with groanings, with syllables, with a new prayer language, he will pray the perfect mind of the Father. Because he knows the will of the Father. You can't really pray selfishly or wrong when Holy Spirit prays through you because he's praying the perfect mind of the Father. Why speak in tongues? It's this beautiful gift that God has given us to empower us to be a witness, to live for him, to bear fruit, to be strong, to represent him. William Thrasher said, to pray in the Holy Spirit simply means to lean upon his divine help as we pray. Holy Spirit will also give us discernment. He'll warn us about assignments that the enemy has placed against our lives. He'll warn us. There's going to be times, and there probably has been times, when you've been in a setting and something felt off. Something that was said felt off. Something that was done felt off. The more you yield to the Holy Spirit, there's going to be times when you're sitting in your recliner watching something and you're going to feel a very strong conviction that you need to turn it. Holy Spirit working in us. And there are situations that we don't know, even assignments of the enemy that are placed against us, that the Holy Spirit will give us discernment, not only that there's something that we need to pray about, but then he'll give us the words and the wisdom and the battle plan to be able to pray it through. Watchman Nee said, the indwelling spirit shall teach us what is of God and what is not. That is why sometimes we can conjure up no logical reason for an opposing certain teaching, yet in the very depth of our being arises a resistance. Don't override the checks of Holy Spirit. Don't override it. Don't think, well, that's just me. Because you'll get uncomfortable when it's a check by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you won't be able to sleep. Sometimes you'll weep. Sometimes you're like, something feels off, but I can't put my finger on it. I don't have peace about this. I don't have peace to do this or to do that or to watch this or to listen to this. Don't override it. Don't try to rationalize it and figure it out, because I will tell you that generally, in time, it will bear out why you felt the way that you did. Kenneth Hagin taught that for the believer who is filled with Holy Ghost, his tongues are given to him to use constantly in his worship and devotion to God. When you look at Acts 10, the house of Cornelius, when they were filled, they begin to speak in tongues and magnify the Lord. There's just something about the freedom of even the tongues in your worship, of allowing God to just, it not only glorifies God, it literally edifies you and builds you up when you allow Holy Spirit to pray through you. It's the doorway. When you speak in tongues, it's a doorway into the supernatural. And it opens up the door to the other gifts of the Spirit that are available to us over in 1 Corinthians. So it's a doorway. So when we quench the Spirit, are we, it is quenching. When Holy Spirit is trying to move in us and we kind of lock down and lock up because we're afraid it's us, we're afraid of what we're gonna sound like, we are quenching him. And that's not to be hard on anybody. We've all done it because we're afraid. We're afraid of what we're gonna look like. We're afraid of what we're gonna sound like. And the enemy is gonna do his best to keep you subdued, to say not everyone needs to be filled with the baptism because Holy Spirit lives within you. But when you yield and Holy Spirit begins to flow out of you, he now has you. You're more subject to yielding to him instead of trying to control when and where Holy Spirit moves in your life. You're now the gateway for his glory. You're now the riverbed for his river. You're now a bold witness for him because you're submitted to him. So not only does he have your tongue so that he can pray through and edify you and edify the body and build you up, now you learn to yield and submit to him, to be used of him in all kinds of ways and in the gifts as he wills, not as you will, not as I will. And the more we release the Holy Spirit in our lives, the more fruit we bear. Because when we yield to him, it is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me. Luke says this, this is Jesus. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It's a free gift. It's for you and you and you and you and for me. It's an outflow of the power of God that has been deposited inside of me and inside of you as a believer. It's the outflow of his power and his presence and his glory and his mercy manifesting in my life and flowing through my life and flowing in spite of my life. He wants you to have it. I was filled with a baptism as an 11-year-old girl. I was in children's church. I needed his power. I wanted it. Didn't fully understand it. Went over and started praying by myself. Syllables began to come up in my spirit. I didn't have anyone there praying with me, which is fine because I've prayed with a lot of people and probably will tonight. But I was hungry. And the Spirit of God began to flow out of my innermost being. And I cannot settle for anything less than his power, because once you've experienced the fullness, the outflow of his power, you won't settle for anything less. So he not only dwells in you, he wants to operate through you. My mom was in her 20s, went off, already had three kids, went off into the bedroom, said, Lord, I don't know if this is of you or not, because she had been raised in a church that taught it had been done away with. Then she started, they got saved, my mom and dad. Then she started going to a church that taught it. She went in her room. She said, Lord, if this is of you, I want it. If it's not, I don't want any part of it. And she began to just worship God and submit herself to him. And she was gloriously filled with a baptism in the Holy Spirit. One of the most powerful intercessors that I was ever around was my mom. He wants that for you. There are times when we focus so much on the tongues, that initial evidence, that we almost set ourselves up for failure. And we get intimidated and afraid. So sometimes you need to just go start praying for someone else. And when your words are not enough, and those tongues begin to come, it's up to you to obey. It's up to you to begin to speak. But sometimes you need to take maybe the attention off of yourself and pray for someone else if you feel like you're getting hung up. Sometimes you need to just worship God. We have this thing that we always want to worship with our mouth closed. From the beginning of time, Jesus spoke. He spoke the worlds into existence. He spoke life. He rode on the wings of the wind. He breathed into you. You've got to push back against the spirit of intimidation. You are a blood-bought child of God. Holy Spirit lives in you. And you have to push back against that and lift your hands and open your mouth so he can fill it. Because I can guarantee you that some of you have heard the tongues here, but you're afraid to release them here, and you keep your mouth closed. God, if it's you, make me speak. Rarely is that going to happen. It is by faith. And here's the truth. You don't have trouble saying all kinds of other things. Give God the glory due his name. I can promise you this. When you start worshiping God with everything that is within you and you give him the glory that he deserves and you're looking him face to face, there's going to come a moment when your words are not enough to describe who he is. You're going to be overwhelmed by his nature, by his glory, by his power. You're going to be overwhelmed. And out of your innermost being, Jesus said, on that day, the great day of the feast, he said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. And out of his belly, out of his heart, will flow rivers of living water. It's not a trickle. It's like you're the faucet. And you can keep that faucet turned off. And no water's going to come out. That socket can be in your wall full of power, ready to charge and run all kinds of things in your house. But until you plug it in, nothing's going to happen. You're going to sit in the dark. His power is in you. His revelation is in you. He has given us this gift because he knew we would need it. He knew we would need it. He knew there would be times we did not know how to pray and what to pray. He knew there would be times that we would be down and underneath the load of things, and we would need to build up our most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. He knew that. So he said, I'm going to give you a comforter. I'm going to give you a helper. He's not only going to be with you, but he's going to be in you. He's going to give life to your mortal body. He gives the Spirit without limit. So you may be in here and you may have been filled since a child, but you may still be where you were 10 years ago. The Holy Spirit is the gateway to the supernatural. I heard it said recently that we are not to follow signs and wonders. Signs and wonders should be following us. We're not to follow the crowd, we're to follow the cloud. And God is doing something in this day, in this season that we're in. He is moving and he is manifesting his power and his glory, and he wants to clothe us and bathe us with his power because of the times that we are in. He wants to give us a boldness and endue us that when we walk into situations or situations walk into us that we're not prepared for, that we can square our shoulders, and whether we pray out loud with exuberance or we intercede inside of us, because we can do that, allowing the Holy Spirit, once we have allowed him to flow, it will push back the darkness. It will break the assignments of hell. It will release things over your house, the power, the anointing, the peace of God over your home. We need to open our mouth, church. We need to allow the power of God that has already been deposited in us as a child of God to begin to flow out of us and operate in us and operate through us and operate in spite of us. Because we have some weaknesses, we have some stuff. But if we will do what that early church did, and we'll get before God and we'll humble ourselves, we may not experience those tongues the first time we pray. There are times when people do, and I do think we make it hard. But it may be that God wants us to humble ourselves before him and pour out our heart before him and come into one mind and one accord so that he can do something supernatural in the house. But I can promise you this, this gift is for you and you and your children, and to all who are afar off until Jesus comes back for his church. And he wants his church on fire. He wants us to be filled and endued with power and anointing from on high. And he has given us this beautiful gift. Ha ha. Hito rashe ke tolomo sondo. He's given us this gift. This power, so that he can speak boldly through us, so that our worship can be pure and create an atmosphere for him to dwell on, where his train fills the temple, where it is not fleshly worship or just because I need to or I have to or I like this song but I don't like that song, so my attitude goes like this all through the service. But we submit ourselves. Ha! And his power flows out of us. So we can build our most holy faith. We can build up the church. We can edify one another, and we can glorify God.